Words like inspiring and brilliant get casually thrown around, to the point where they lose their immediacy and weight. But in thinking about our time with Chris Calais, the Vice President of Product Management at Sonos, these words come back with force and gravity. The thoughtfulness and impeccable attention to detail that go into the product development at Sonos is staggering. The lengths they go to design and provide an immersive, elegant experience in listening to music is nothing short of inspiring. They consider the artist's intent of the sound at all levels, even down to how the music will bounce around the walls of every location one of their speakers lands in around the world. Chris and his team are a tour de force in designing brilliant products and bringing them to market. In this episode, you will get a very rare peek into the Sonos Lab right in the heart of Santa Barbara to see how these speakers are born. We have no doubt you will leave this interview inspired. So kick back, turn up the speakers, and enjoy this episode of Rodecast. And we'll see you down the road. And maybe that's a great place to start in terms of, like, you've been with Sonos for a while, right? Since 2007.
Yep.
And that, I mean, Sonos was birthed around that time, right?
I mean, yeah, it was a few years before that. We were actually founded in Santa Barbara by four guys who did a previous company called Software.com.
Okay.
And they did really well during the dot-com time, made a ton of money. And they sailed the world. They bought the helicopters, the airplanes, the golf memberships, and decided that, hey, you know, we enjoy making cool products.
Yeah.
So they put their heads together and put some money together and started Sonos.
So we are in our West Coast Sonos lab.
Okay.
It's 55,000 square feet.
Okay.
Everything I'll show you guys in the next 10, 5 hour or whatever it's going to be is also in our East Coast office.
Okay.
So we have a kind of like a mirror image
of the lab.
Of the lab, the gear, the space, that kind of stuff. Myself and a coworker named Martin designed this building. So like I know the building like really well,
okay.
Like all the details and why things are the way they are and all
that.
Kind of walking through here, you'll see throughout the building, a whole bunch of like random album covers or pieces of art that are signed. So we work with a lot of artists, mostly signatures I can't read anymore. I can't remember who they are, but we've met with these artists. They've given us feedback on product.
Yeah.
They're Sonos lovers.
I know that's Kanye's. That's Ed Sheeran.
There you go. So you're
on it. That's Rage Against the Machine.
You got the Rage one, right?
Yeah.
And actually up on the ledge there, there's a whole bunch of speakers. They're all signed.
Yeah,
so all the ones up high up there, all have been signed by various bands. So we'll, if they come through here or go to the Santa Barbara Bowl for a concert,
yeah,
we usually interact with them and stuff, so that's pretty cool. So this
Let's
is
get to this part.
One of our listening rooms. This building actually has 8 listening rooms.
Okay.
Different shapes, different styles, different equipment in it. But we do a lot of this listening and trying to get to artist intent, right?
Yeah.
So we'll work on a new speaker idea. We'll bring it in this room, do some listening, do some adjusting. We'll maybe go upstairs, two floors up, and it'll be a different shape room, different size room,
yeah.
And we'll get a different flavor for how the speaker sounds.
So good. One of the things that makes me think about is, like, with this product specifically is, right, it's an actual physical product that has to be designed, that has to be whatever it is, you know, has to be able to, you know, stay together when you drop it.
Yeah.
It has to look beautiful. It has all the like form and function to it. But then there's also like the designing of the actual sound that's so critical. I mean, you have, you know,
yep.
That just feels like such a complex design, you know. It's not a problem to solve, but I mean, that's just a lot that goes into it. You know, you're marrying the two of those together. Because is it true play where you're actually thinking about how the sound will play in any given room, the acoustics of that room, and it's basically adjusting
yep.
the way that it plays based on the room or the setting that you're in.
Totally, yes. So, okay.
And how do you, yeah, go. I mean, I'm just like, I'm like, how does that even happen?
Right, yeah, totally. So thinking about it, kind of like zooming out.
Yeah.
So the first step is to really make a speaker that sounds awesome on its own in yeah. a perfect environment, we'll call
okay.
it. Right? So we'll work super hard with our product teams on the design of the tweeter and the woofer and the mechanical transducers and stuff making, you know, that actually moves the air.
Yeah.
The electronics that go inside, we work super hard on all that. So we get all that stuff dialed. And then we'll get down to our anechoic chamber, which is a huge sound chamber we have in Santa Barbara, one out in Boston. And we'll get in there and we start doing this tweaking with software. We can tweak the sound and sculpt it to how we want it. And we have some targets we're trying to hit. But one of the things that we've realized, my team has realized, is that getting to the last, getting the last 10% requires like an extra kind of secret sauce, I'll call it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we'll get it 90, 95% technically right.
Yeah.
Using all the engineers and all this stuff. But then one of the things that we did in the last 5-10 years is we built a team that we call the soundboard.
Soundboard.
Soundboard,
yeah. We got the train going off right now.
We do. We got the Santa Barbara train coming through. And the soundboard is a collection of people from recording industry.
Oh, music, like an actual board. Gotcha.
It's a board,
gotcha.
Like a board of directors. We have a Sonos board of directors who are, you know, managing our business.
Yeah.
And then we have a soundboard.
Manage the sound.
Yeah.
And,
it's super great. And, you know, we have a fellow named Giles Martin, which you might know. The soundboard member that I work the closest with is Rick Rubin.
Thankful to be here. All good.
Yeah, so back to the story here. So we have a speaker that's 90, 95% technically perfect. We used our fancy chambers, our smart engineers. And then what we do is we say, hey, you know, we need to like get that final like secret sauce in there. So we'll work with the soundboard. We bring the speakers to their listening environment.
Yeah.
So in some cases, it's meeting with Giles at Abbey Road or going to Giles's recording studio at his house. Often go down to Shangri-La, meet with Rick Rubin or Rick's house, and we'll do listening sessions. So we take the speaker that our engineering team thinks is amazing, right? But we'll bring a few engineers, we'll set the speakers up, we sit down, we listen to content, we let them pick the content, let them walk around the room, do whatever they want to do, and they give verbal feedback.
Okay.
And sometimes it's funny feedback, like, hey, it's too thick. Like, what does that mean? Hey, Chris, it's crunchy.
You're like, okay, we got to fix the crunch. It's my job
to figure out how to take crunch, get it less crunchy.
less thick.
And get it, you know, what does that mean, right?
Yes,
and so we'll translate these words, you know, crunchy and thick.
And are you doing this in the moment?
In the moment. So we'll bring an engineer or two with us. We have the ability to, with software and computers, to tune the speaker live. So much like...
So there's that marriage of like software and the hardware together, and it's like...
Yeah, it's critical.
Sheesh.
Yeah, it's super... I mean,
and you just dial it in, so it's like, hey, this is too crunchy. You're like, crunch out.
And then Rick will be like, hey, well, you made it more crunchy. Don't do that. And then you go the other...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This iteration.
So we'll iterate. And sometimes, you know, we got bigger assignments, and we'll say, hey, we'll be back in a few weeks with a new version or something. So we'll do that.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's how Sonos got... to be where we are, right? So if you read any of the reviews on our products in the last 10 years, like, you know, sound amazing. And we got people who love the sound. And actually, back to your TruePlay.
Yeah, that
so,
was the question.
Yeah, that was the question. So we got this thing that sounds amazing now. We ship it out to the world.
Uh-huh.
This was what Rick thought it sounded like, you know, in his house, right? Or Giles thought...
In this environment,
That environment. Most of their environments are pretty amazing. You know, they've got the great environments.
Acoustics or whatever.
Right? And, you know, it doesn't account for... some guy in a college dorm room with beer cans laying on the floor. And
doesn't sound the same.
Right? Doesn't sound the same, right? So we invented this technology called TruePlay, which is the ability to use your iPhone to listen to how the speaker sounds in the room and then correct for what it should be, right? So the phone, we tell the phone, hey, this is what Sonos wants it to sound like, but this is what we're actually measuring with the microphone in your iPhone. And then we correct for that and then send that information back to the speaker and the speaker adjusts its sound.
This just looks like another planet in here.
Yeah, so this is our full-scale 4Pi anechoic chamber.
Wait, say that again.
So this is
anaphonic?
Anechoic.
Anechoic, what is anechoic?
Which means no echo.
Anechoic.
So as you'll see as we close these doors, so we have two doors. We have the magic button here I'll push, which freaks out some people. Because it's a automatic closing door that may or may not open ever again.
But that's, I mean, it looks like a torture chamber.
It does.
In here,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's, it'll seal off the outside sound, and you can see there's a magnetic latch.
It's already amazing what it does to your ears in here.
Yeah.
Like I have a slight ringing.
Yeah, you'll hear. You can hear yourself think deep. And then you close this, and then it can be really crazy and turn off the lights.
Wow. Okay, and then we're also standing on like this netting. So we're hovering then.
We're hovering. So
we've got the springs underneath on this million-pound
box.
Box.
Right.
But then we're, what's the gap between like?
So we're in the middle of a 40-foot cube.
Oh, we're in the direct middle of it.
Right. So this trampoline platform here we're standing on, essentially this location right here is the dead center of the space.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're about 20 feet in every direction to a surface. And so we're floating in this 3D space, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a cartoon character right now.
Totally.
Floating in space. Acoustically, this trampoline we're standing on doesn't exist. So in from like a sound perspective, the nearest reflection is 20 feet away in any direction.
Gotcha.
So what we do during the product development process is we'll take a speaker, we'll place it here, and then you'll notice there's a microphone. In this case, it looks like it's 2 meters out from this location.
Yeah.
And then we place the speaker here, and then this spins. And the speaker makes a test tone, and we can measure it from that microphone.
Okay.
Another thing we can do is do the same idea, put a speaker here, and then all those silver things are microphones going all the way down. And if you can imagine a speaker making a sound, and as it spins, you're collecting wedges of sound. Think of it like an orange.
Gotcha.
You're building an orange.
Yeah.
An orange is made up of slices.
And so as it spins, it's hitting this.
It's hitting this, and we're collecting that information as it goes around. And then we can assemble the orange in software, or the wedges of sound,
sheesh,
to figure out what the speaker sounds like in a 3D space. So we'll run a variety of tests on a speaker, have a target we're trying to get to. We can change the sound with software. We can change the sound with changing the transducer. We can change electronics, and we'll get to like perfect, which is this 95%.
I guess that's my question is, what is perfect? So you're measuring it, you have this accurate, what is perfect?
We like, have a like defined sound as perfect. But it's only, to your question earlier, it's only 95%.
And then comes the soundboard.
And then we get in the soundboard. We have thought clearly about how to get to awesome sound. And the thought is brilliant, right? It's like...
Like there is a real brilliance to the amount of thought that's gone into it.
Right, and it's not only the technical thought, but also the subjective thought of like involving a soundboard, which no other company on the planet's doing.
Totally.
Right? So we've got this rare combination of like super smart technical people, awesome tools and facilities to get to awesome sound, and then this secret sauce of having a soundboard who can then say, hey, you've done an amazing job getting to the 95%. Let's sculpt the last 5.
I love that. So, and in that sense, it's great because brilliant isn't necessarily a descriptor of the sound. It's almost a descriptor of like the way we've gone about to get to this place.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also use this space. We have a similar setup to this. And instead of having these microphones in it, we actually have speakers. And there's like 20, 25 of them. And we'll put a speaker here, like the Sonos One, which has microphones in the speaker and Alexa built in.
Yeah.
And we can actually do tests to see what it sounds like when you're talking to your speaker. So we have two challenges with Sonos. One is the sound coming out so you can hear awesome music. The other is capturing the sound when you're in your kitchen saying, Alexa, play Bob Marley.
Yeah.
You want that to be captured perfectly and hear it and play Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And so we do testing in here for that too.
Gotcha.
Right. So we have a separate piece of equipment we'll put in here. It's not here right now. And it says Alexa, 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 Alexa around the circle such that anywhere you're standing around your Sonos speaker, it'll capture Alexa perfectly. And we'll design, iterate the speaker on that angle too to make sure that the speech capture is awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of two uses for this space.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so impressive. Someone wouldn't have any idea of like the like what it takes to get to that like push button and dance in the kitchen to Marvin Gaye, you know.
Yeah,
there just isn't, but that level of thought, it's amazing. It really is crazy. Yep. And so, it does feel like it feels like I want to pop my ears right now.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a good place to take a nap too. Right?
It's kind of. So you've been in here with artists though, you said, like.
Yeah, yeah. So we've had artists come through. Rick's been here, you know, Rick Rubin. We've had some artists who like to actually lay down, shut off the lights, have like 2 minutes of silence, because it's one of the places on Earth where there's actually no sound. We're isolated from planet Earth by those 48 springs that I mentioned. The quietness and attenuation of this chamber is one of the best in the United States. There's only a few chambers on the planet that are this accurate and this quiet. We've built two of them, one here and one in Boston.
Yeah.
So we've had some artists come through and say, hey, look, I want to have 2 minutes of silence. I know we got to go play a show at the Santa Barbara Bowl, but yeah. I'm going to lay down here on the floor and zone out for 2 minutes. And I've sat here for 2 minutes letting them chill out. But anyhow, yeah, so this is just a great tool for Sonos to have. Super great for taking measurements. And like I said, this is, you know, getting us to the 95%, and then we'll
get there other ways
through
that. And this is not foam.
It's not foam.
What is it?
Specially engineered materials.
I want to get into the creation of it, but I also want to know, like, knowing just a little bit about your story, like, the Cliff Note version of what led up to you coming to Sonos in 2007. Like, what was some of that like lead up of your story that then led to the moment of you joining?
So I was into DJing.
Okay.
Loved a lot of hip hop. Grew up down in LA. And also,
where in LA?
The Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, San nice. Fernando Valley.
Okay.
And was into lowered trucks and loud stereos. And got kind of into it, and me and a buddy built the truck and won a championship with the, you know, stereo competition.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, it's great. And then, so that was my early years between DJing and making sound systems. And then went and got an engineering degree and realized I love sound, and focused on sound engineering up at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo,
okay.
California.
Yeah.
And got into that, got a job at JBL.
Yeah.
Down in the LA area, did that for a bit. Really kind of got into music, sound, speaker making, all that kind of jazz. And then from there, I got a job up in the Bay Area doing similar kind of work at a company called Velodyne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about what were you guys doing at Velodyne?
Yeah, so Velodyne is a super interesting company. I came on board to lead their speaker sound team, develop products for them. We grew the company over the 8-9 years I was there significantly. Awesome time. But in addition to doing all the sound stuff, the CEO was also had a bunch of side hobbies, we'll call it, side projects.
Yeah.
So he came to me one day and said, hey, Chris, what if I gave you some money, maybe a couple million, and a few people? Could you help me build a team to make remote control robots? I want to compete in battle bots and robot wars. I looked at him kind of funny and said, I thought we'd make speakers.
What year is this?
We're probably back in like 2004.
Okay.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you guys remember that, you know.
BattleBot. I totally remember. Yeah.
Comedy Central.
Yeah, absolutely.
Robot Wars is on, I think, TLC. Anyhow, so we entered the competition. We started with one robot. Shortly enough, we had four, and we were packing these robots and air freighting them to London to fight in the World Championship. this is on company money, mind you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did a great job. We actually won the World Championship in London.
Do you have like a trophy, like BattleBot Champion of the World?
Or so it's not a trophy. It's a giant belt buckle.
No.
Like a WWF. Huge. It's probably, you know, good 10 inches across. Belt buckle. Yeah. So we did the robot thing for a bit. And then CEO's like, hey, you know, I'm bored of this. I want to do self-driving cars. It's like, all right, that sounds interesting. We've got a team of engineers. Great team we built. Yeah. People, we have the equipment. We're kind of in the right space, you know, with robotics now. So we entered this challenge. It was called the DARPA Grand Challenge.
Okay.
And it was $1 million offered by the U.S. government to have a car that drives from L.A. to Vegas autonomously.
Yeah.
So no driver.
Mm-hmm.
First year, Google entered, a variety of other, like, colleges and other companies, Intel, Carnegie Mellon, Stanford. Nobody won that race.
Okay.
So there was a second race the next year, $2 million if somebody could make it happen. And we actually developed a laser or LIDAR so the vehicle can see where it's going. So it's basically a spinning set of lasers that goes on top of the vehicle.
Okay. Like is LIDAR like laser radar?
Yes.
Okay.
I forget the acronym. It was,
I felt like I was feeling really vulnerable right there. I'm like, is that just we just like a liger, like a tiger in a no?
It's kind of like a liger. But yeah, so we put the LIGAR or light, no, whatever, on top of the on top of our vehicle.
Yeah,
and we did really well with that. I think I'm not sure if anybody won that year. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
but what did happen was Google came to us and said, "Hey, we really believe in the technology you have. It worked amazing.
Yeah.
We want you guys to start making some product."
So how did it end up with Google? Was it, I mean, you guys?
Yeah, in 2007, we were in production. So we started making these lasers. Google was using them on their self-driving car at that point in Mountain View. So they were having cars that were driving around on their own. They were using it on the mapping vehicle because Google Maps was a kind of a new thing or getting going then. And so when I was leaving Velodyne to come to Sonos, I think at about that time we had produced over 100 of these lasers.
That's amazing. LIDAR
devices, which is awesome, right? You know, we'd gone from robots fighting in an arena and on Comedy Central to a real business.
Changing the world.
Yeah.
Do you, when you think about the tech that's inside of a Tesla and be like, I kind of understand, like I've designed like at the ground floor of some of this technology, you know, and to go like, I understand how it's functioning and how it's working in that car. And like,
you see yourself
as a part of that story. Cause that's unbelievable. I mean,
it is.
It's like the Wright brothers or something. I mean,
I wouldn't take it that far, but you know, like that, I think that's the key to, you know, a great, you know, person in product development who, you know, if you're focused on the next thing, you're focused on making awesome stuff for humans. For what you're passionate about,
love
right?
That. Yeah. Yeah. So product development. So then that kind of leads into Sonos and going, tell us about that moment of like why you were brought on and what you were like brought on to do and how that started to work.
One of the founders, Tom Cullen, super convincing fellow, is like, look, we've got this awesome technology, this sweet company we're starting in Santa Barbara. We need you to come help us. We want to make speakers. We don't know what we're doing. We're from the software industry.
Yeah.
And so I flew down to Santa Barbara from the Bay Area, landed here, beautiful Santa Barbara, California.
It's tough to beat.
Tough to beat. And after a short amount of time, signed on the line because I believed in the vision.
Yeah. And this is interesting, right? Because Sonos, like you said, was just a tech. It was a software company. It wasn't even a...
Yeah. So we, in 2007, Sonos made a device that was like a little electronic box that you could plug your speaker into. And so it kind of paint the picture in 2007. So their streaming is not happening yet or just starting.
Yeah.
Stealing music. Napster is commonplace. And like hard drives of music. So for those of
you
remember, like a giant hard drive of thousands of songs was common. And Sonos actually made a controller that you could, a wireless controller. So the founder of Sonos shipped me a collection of these boxes and this controller.
Okay.
And... Well, this is when I was up in the Bay Area, and I hooked it up to my home and the in-ceiling speakers and all that. And I could walk around the house, and this is in 2007. Remember, no iPhone. iPhone's not invented yet. Streaming's not happening. And wireless is a kind of a new thing, right? I'm walking around the house with this wireless thing, and I can go room by room and play Bob Marley in room one, Snoop Dogg in room two, Jack Johnson in room three. Totally bananas. I was like blown away, right?
Yeah. So that's an amazing moment though.
It was. And for me, it was amazing. And then the crazy part is that because the device was hooked up to the internet, the founder of Sonos calls me and says, hey, I saw you hooked up the gear we just shipped you.
No way.
I was like, what? Like, you know, talk about like connected and internet and all these kind of things. I'm like, yeah. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, I love it. He's like, you want to fly down to Santa Barbara this Friday? I'm like, sure.
That's so cool.
So one of the big themes of this building is the whole idea of like rapid prototyping and getting to like iterating on concepts and ideas. So kind of everything I'm going to show you now is very, it's like a part of the puzzle of making a speaker.
Okay,
With the goal like that we're trying to get to like a working prototype. Somebody, Rick.
We paid homage to Rick. Yeah.
We pay homage to Rick.
The guru.
That's actually a shot we took inside of his house. But yeah, we would sit on that couch and listen to the speakers. So I'll take you into the first space. This is a wireless test chamber. A lot of people confuse it with, it looks like a sound chamber.
Yeah.
Our sound chamber is probably 20 times bigger than this.
Okay.
But the idea is that this is used during the development process to get to awesome wireless. Each one of these X's is an antenna measuring the performance of Wi-Fi all the way around the speaker. And then this thing spins. And so we can basically make a blob of the wireless performance around the speaker. And the goal is to get to, it's perfect all the way around, like a ball of perfect wirelessness. Because you don't know if your router's downstairs and your speaker's upstairs, right? So if you think about the wires would just go straight through the floor to the speaker, or maybe your speaker is next to it or below it or above it, right?
You want that thing perfectly encapsulated.
So you want wireless working perfect on all sides of the thing. I'll mention this real quick, two things.
Liquid Death, shout out, Dan Jansen.
But Liquid Death is a new client that we're doing doing a lot of the advertising, graphics, different things for. We're working on some animations right now for Instagram for them.
Shout out to Dan.
Liquid Death. Coming back around at Sonos.
Being used as a Sonos team to develop awesome products.
That's so funny.
So this room basically is a prototype lab. So what we'll do is we, as you see, you'll see on the tour, we 3D print plastic parts, we get metal parts, we bring all this stuff together.
Yeah.
And we actually make the engineers who design the thing.
Right here.
Hand build it right here.
Gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So we fly them in from Shanghai, from Seattle, from Boston. They spend a week in Santa Barbara and they have to hand build a new idea of a speaker. They do it right here. This is a drop test machine. So one of the things we really want to do is make sure our products are robust.
Yeah.
In products like Move or our portable speakers, right?
Yeah.
So you're having a party, you're at the beach, you drop it. So if you look at this thing here, it's got this little claw. We'll actually put the speaker in there and then open the jaws and it hits the concrete deck and we see what breaks. So we do a lot of testing on that kind of like.
And are you measuring at every single height? Like.
Yeah. So we have like tests. Targets we're trying to hit, like it should survive from like a height that's,
you know, handheld, this
and it should land and be fine.
Yeah,
one time, two times, maybe five times, and then like, hey, if you did it 20 times, you're an idiot, kind of thing, right? There's a point at which
you're like, at some point, yeah, that's it.
So that's a drop test machine.
So with something like, was it Move?
Move, yeah.
I mean, that thing had to have been just like dropped from.
Yeah, Move actually broke the concrete block.
No.
Yeah, totally.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was a big day. Engineers are super excited about that.
The
product beat the concrete.
Yes.
This is an environmental chamber. So this chamber gets really hot, really cold. Okay. So there's a one of our newer speakers in there, Rome. And right now, I can't tell, but it's either running really hot or really cold in there, and it's being cycled. So like, think of it as like sitting out in the desert and you're camping, or
it's recreating that. It's
recreating that environment. So this is an environmental chamber. Recreating that. So we run a bunch of tests, hot, cold, really hot for a long time, really cold for a long time.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, should work.
Love it.
So this is a CNC cardboard cutter.
Okay.
So one of the things that we work really hard at Sonos is environmentally friendly packaging and super awesome packaging experiences. You can see the over there, that's for our Beam product. But basically, we can build, test, and iterate packaging designs in this building and play with shape and size and how it feels like when you open it, what materials we're using. So we have a whole team that's dedicated to that. That really tall thing over there is a vibration machine, and it simulates what it's like to be on a FedEx truck going across the US.
That's something I never would have thought of, that you have to like test for, like, you're designing your product and you got to think about what it's like on the truck.
Yeah.
And there's someone built a machine
to test. Yeah. And then we actually have a button that says run what it's like to be in a FedEx truck.
Is there like a, here's the Amazon truck, here's the FedEx truck,
here's the UPS. And then they put the finished product inside the box that we designed. They put the box on there, hit go, and it shakes away. It's pretty funny.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So when, just to kind of recap, so that what they had sent me was this box.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So they didn't make sound. Right. And they're like, and we had this controller, and you had to go through a whole bunch of stuff to set it up. It was kind of like a project, right?
Yeah.
And so the main mission was like, how can we simplify this for the world? Like, what can we do to bring Sonos to the masses? Because it was super niche-y. The setup they had sent me was thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your normal person could not afford that, mm-hmm. nor like would want to set that stuff up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So get down to Santa Barbara, and they're like, hey, we want to like simplify this experience and make a thing. What should we make? I'm like, we need to make a smart speaker, like all-in-one, integrated, connected to the internet, and streams all the music on the planet and is easily controlled. And
that was it.
And that's, so we started building the team, hiring, forming like the vision. And then it was interesting. So we're on the path of like getting this thing going. And right in there is when the iPhone was launched. So we had this.
Did they have an idea of what was coming with the iPhone?
We had no idea. So we had our own controller though, right? So this is this, you know, fairly large.
That's right. Yeah. That's
antiquated like, controller. Yeah, yeah. Has a scroll wheel. Mm-hmm. So we had that controller. So we knew that the speaker that my team would develop would be controlled by that thing.
Yeah.
And then mid-cycle through, one of my coworkers, one of the key guys with Sonos, Mr. Nick Millington, he started development on an app for the iPhone. So we had these two parallel paths going in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
My team's building this smart speaker, first one ever, and Nick's making the app for the iPhone. So in the fall of 2009, we were able to take this kludgy system that cost thousands of dollars in the 2007 timeframe, launch in 2009 with a $399 speaker and an app that's free. And that changed the whole face of Sonos and, you know, streaming music forever, really.
So maybe we talk about, I'd love to know just a little bit of like the like product development process for you and your team.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's functioning at its best, like what's it look like? What are you looking for?
Yep. Totally.
You know, what's it to bring a new, say a new speaker, you know?
Yep.
What are you aiming to do? Like when that endeavor begins and what's it look like?
Sure. So we, the key thing about Sonos and product development is we target this thing called right product.
Okay.
It might sound a little silly,
simple,
but whatever. Simple. But it's this healthy balance of awesome experience,
mm-hmm.
Targeting the right person, right design and visual aesthetics,
easy
mm-hmm. control, ease of use, getting the content that you'd want to have, and whether it's Spotify or TV content or home theater, whatever it is, right? So so when we're setting off on an adventure to develop products, we start and say, hey, what are the key elements of right product for this thing? And this thing could be a speaker, it could be a sound bar, it could be a subwoofer, any of these products, right? So we spend a lot of time up front with the team working through that. And a lot of times it can be painful, to be frank. You have a lot of opinions, like to kind of relate it to maybe Apple, right? The phone looks beautiful, but it also functions great, but it also if you drop it, it won't shatter.
There's so much that goes into it.
So much goes into it, right? And so we have that same, I'll call it healthy tension.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bring the right set of people into the room and start having those conversations. And they can be rough. Sometimes it involves a lot of late nights and cocktails to get it, to get things ironed out. It's one of my specialties. This is getting the team out for Manhattan.
There you go. Loosen it up.
Loosen it up.
Get the juices flowing.
It requires travel, you know, so a third of the team's in Seattle, a third of the team is in Boston, and a third of the team Santa Barbara for our U.S. team. We also have a pretty heavy team in Europe and Asia. And, you know, so there's some travel involved.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you want to get to a real healthy balance of what the product is and the vision you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And you basically get everybody to sign the dotted line and say, hey, you know, we're going to go after this. And then you start that process of actually like designing, making, testing, building, iterating.
Yeah.
All right. So this is more engineering lab. So you'll see a lot of like, you know, tech benches and mm-hmm. like electronic stuff. So this is about 10,000 square feet of just like lab space.
Okay.
So kind of step you guys through that. remember that big chamber we just went in downstairs, the spiky wall, that would you call it, the torture chamber?
Yep.
Yeah. Here's a mini version of that. So this is a mini torture chamber.
Okay.
And if you were to go to our factory in China, you'd see a whole bunch of these on the production line.
Huh.
So what we do is we basically design it, as you saw downstairs, in that big chamber, make it perfect. And then when we build them in China, we test every single one in a mini version of that chamber to make sure that the wireless on every single product,
every single product
that
we've
shipped
amazing.
Is perfect.
That's crazy.
So if you were to send me the serial number for your Sonos One
you
or your Move, I will show you the actual graph and like the performance, its birth certificate for wireless. And I can also do that for sound. I can do that for the cosmetics, any aspect of the product. We have a full report on what your speaker was like day one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's super cool. And then we also have, which you probably may or may not know because you opted in, a report coming to us daily for how your speaker is doing.
And
so your speaker has called home to our servers every day since the day has been born.
Saying this.
And gives
us
a report. Hey, he's been listening to this funky hip hop music and it's running kind of hot. And
serve him up these Instagram ads.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get
No, but we get like a ton of data. So we use that data to make product decisions again. So we'll take the information that we got from day one, we'll also compare that to the five years later, look at that information, make decisions on, you know, future products.
Gotcha.
Like tons of electronics, tons of testing. You'd come here during the day, teams working together, interacting, building multiple types of speakers.
And this is all on the hardware side of stuff.
This is all on the hardware, right? So like, let me just give you an idea of like, this is the one of the circuit boards inside of our product. See all those little tiny parts over that? These are all designed by a Sonos engineer. And we work hard, you know, once again, between the teams in Seattle, Boston, teams in Asia to make this stuff happen. Your face is...
I know. Well,
it's hard to...
I have so much... So, like, I know, maybe comparing to another, like, speaker company, right?
Because, that's a good one.
You know, of, like... Are they putting the same level of detail into the... I mean, your product isn't one thing. It's 10 things, you know?
Correct.
So...
Yeah, so it's very common for not only a speaker company, but lots of electronics companies to buy parts, different parts of the puzzle, and then put them together into a system. It's uncommon for everything to be designed from scratch.
And created, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we do. So every single part, there's even cases we design our own screws. We don't buy a screw, we design the screw and make the screw, because the screw fits what we're trying to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But every aspect of a Sonos product is designed from scratch, from the ground up.
And is that like core DNA from just the beginning? Like, hey, we're going to, quality matters to us, what we're creating. We want to be able to own what we, you know, build and create. And
100%. And we believe that that difference is what makes an awesome product. That's what gets to the artist intent. That's what gets to the Sonos fans that we have millions of around the planet. That's what gets the super high reliability. So one of the amazing things about Sonos is less than 1% of anything we've ever shipped has ever been returned or had an issue.
That's crazy.
Which in electronics is like a super low number.
doesn't anything, it's a super low number.
So like, you know, it's very uncommon for things to be, we don't have recalls, knock wood, we don't have large return rates, that kind of stuff. And it's all because we put that effort into designing the circuit board, designing the transducer, that kind of thing.
Just so much work on the back end. It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. But and that's one of the reasons, too, why, you know, if you go to Sonos.com, there's not a lot of products. We have 10, 12 products. If you count accessories, it's more. But, like, in general, we have a very small product lineup, but we're generating $1.7 billion in sales, right? If you were to go to a competitor's website, you'll see maybe 100 Bluetooth speakers, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe 50, and they're different shapes and sizes, but they're all parts that are bought from companies and then assembled into a system.
Yeah.
And it's more about like just
cranking it out. And in that sense, it really is that marriage of, I mean, what you've said of software and hardware, but also design. And like when you invest in design at that level, like it pays off. And it's beautiful. I mean, you're making a beautiful, thoughtful product that sounds amazing.
Oh, here's our new soundbar. It's called Arc. Beautiful soundbar. It comes in black and white. Dolby Atmos. So it has that upfiring 3D sound. Super cool. If you don't have one, you should get one.
All right. I'll get one. So put it on the list.
I might know someone and get you a discount.
Okay. That'd be great.
All right. So first prototype spot I'll show you is our machine shop. Since you know CNC machines, you should be familiar with this. So this is our
drill press. We have a saw.
Five-axis CNC. We do a lot of rapid prototyping of ideas in here. Mm-hmm. I'll just grab something super random, but this is the back of like a Sonos One, right? So we would prototype this in this lab. We can make this in, you know, a matter of an hour. Engineer has an idea. They design it up, they send it over to the shop. The shop can bang this out super fast. It's the back of a Sonos One underneath like the grill cover.
And is this like being 3D printed or is it just being machined?
Machined from a chunk of metal.
That's just straight.
So we start with a chunk of metal, something like this, and then out comes that.
What?
Yeah. That's crazy. That machine there does all the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, three or four 3D printers in here. Looks like this one just finished printing. But basically, think of this as like an inkjet printer, but for plastic, right? Underneath here are cartridges. These are filled with plastic, and we can put in different materials. We can put in different colors.
This is much different than the at-home 3D printer.
Yeah. This one doesn't fit on your desk.
No, that one doesn't sit on top of the
desk. It also costs a lot. And you can see in here some plastic parts. Not sure what they're for, but it's some product.
And is this mainly for prototyping as well? Like that's what
Yeah, so we have these 3D printers here. We also have these in Boston, right? Mm-hmm. And so if this one's working, it could take 24 hours to make something in here. We will actually send the file to Boston. They'll make it in Boston and FedEx it does.
Gotcha.
So the two labs are working in concert, back and forth, to maximize time and what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is our wood shop going in here.
Wood shop.
That's always the common commentary.
I'm like, what?
What? Who uses wood?
It's pumping LaCroix.
Yeah. So we have a CNC machine to cut wood, a few other machines in here. And surprisingly enough, and I'll show you one in a little bit, making a wood box is a very quick and easy way to test the idea of a new speaker.
Okay.
So we'll have in that early phase when we're talking about like getting to the right product.
Yeah.
We'll actually send some files in here, and in an hour, a technician can show up with a wood box with some speakers in it and show it to some people and have a conversation.
Crazy.
Yeah. So we use the wood shop. It's actually kind of a good like kickoff point for concepting. So we talked about wood boxes. So this is the first soundbar we've ever made.
That's cool.
Probably 2010 era, but gives you an idea. This is probably made in a few hours. Had some speakers in it, transducers in it. We brought it in the lab, tested it, thought about it. I mentioned in our previous conversation the first Play 5, so that's this.
That's that one.
Yeah, so this was made in 2008. It's very similar to like how the Play 5 Gen 1 is. Mm-hmm. If I had one here, show you, but there it is. So if you look at, compare what's behind the grill here, if I can get this apart. Let's spill the coffee. But the configuration of like what's here and what's here.
Oh yeah.
And this was like idea day one, and that's what we ended up shipping. Yeah. So it kind of gives you like the comparison.
I love it.
Another thing we do a lot of is in the CNC machine that I showed you that cuts metal. We also cut foam. So this is like a really dense foam.
Oh yeah. To get that shape.
But we can sculpt a whole bunch of shapes, and sometimes we'll put like 10, 20 shapes on a counter and like talk through like which one makes sense.
God,
this is like an early thought for Play 3.
Okay.
Yeah. But our industrial design team are experts at like how things should look and feel and all that. Yeah. If you know Sonos Move, which is our first portable speaker, to test that concept, we actually took a Sonos One and strapped a battery in the bottom. So this is a 3D printed housing with the battery inside, and this is a Sonos One. So we made like 20 of them and secretly handed them to 20 people's homes and said, what would you do with it? And we watched them, we filmed them, we do all those kind of things, get a bunch of feedback on like what does a portable Sonos speaker feel like?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a go and we made Move.
That's cool.
Yeah. But that's the kind of activities that are happening in this building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the foundational things with Sonos is that marriage of hardware and software.
Love
and
it.
That's how we get to awesome products.
Yeah.
You can only take it so far in hardware, and having that marriage of software and hardware is where you get to those magical moments,
yeah.
The great sound, the easy setup, that kind of thing.
I love it. I know one of the other things you guys talk about is like this, that care, right? Music in general, like the only invisible art form, and yet it is like you can't see it. It makes people emote like nothing else. I mean, it just around the world, like sound and music, it's so critical. And so to put that kind of like intense care into it and going, how do we, one of the lines I read was like, how do we accurately represent the artist's intent of the sound?
Yep.
You know, and I think for an artist, they've got to just feel, that's got to be like the most encouraging or like motivating thing to go like, this company that is, you know, distributing my product is taking the utmost care to try and get to my original intent to the point to where they're trying to figure out how the room sounds if you're in a stinky dorm room.
Right.
I don't know. That just is
yeah.
That level of like design thinking, that level of like thoughtfulness in terms of product development. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. We really want to represent what the artist wanted to have, what they heard and recorded in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring that into people's homes and all of that technical stuff I described and all those, all yeah. That process and all that stuff is really just to get to that end game, which is delivering awesome sound, artist intent in the listener's home.
In the most like simple, beautiful.
In the simple, elegant way that people can sit down and easily do on a Friday night, get home from work, hit play, and they got it.
Right? Boom, you're boom. In there.
Chris, thank you so much.
You are totally welcome.
It was just an unbelievable tour.
Yeah,
people appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. It's fascinating. It feels like we could have talked for hours, but really appreciate it.
It's great. I had a good time too. I love talking about sound, Sonos, all the cool stuff we're working on, and look forward to more conversations with
yeah,
you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you were to go interview somebody or talk to someone, who would you want to go?
We're
on a road trip, so we're kind of like, hey, we like, you know, we always ask people like, who they want to go talk
yes.
to.
So we work deep with a lot of artists, so I think you might want to see. Get in contact with some of our artists.
We'd love that.
Also, my buddy Giles Martin.
Yes.
Not sure you can get the trailer over the ocean out to London, but I know.
We may have to fly for that one.
We might have to fly. I'm willing to go with you, and okay. We can go out to Abbey Road, spend some time with Giles down at his farm. He'd totally love it.
Let's do it.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good. Thanks. All right.